Yeah. For life tonight. I was telling the people in Buenos Aires, that's just outside of Santo Domingo, of the Diego's church. They're having church out underneath a Well, they've got concrete pillars up and a concrete slab. And then they've got tarp stretched out across the top part of it for a place to stay in out of the, you know, a little bit of the weather and have church, or they're trying to build a church. And but anyway, I was telling them how thankful I was for life, that, and knowing that that when people die in the Lord, like I told them, I said, the Lord doesn't look at death like we do. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He just sees you as being asleep. Jesus, when they sent him message about Lazarus, he told his disciples, he said, Lazarus is asleep. Finally, they kept inquiring enough that he finally told them he's dead. But first, he wanted them just to know God. The way God looks at it, he's asleep. If you're God's child, you've got life in your soul. And you've been made alive. If you've been born of again, you've got a little bit of eternal life dwelling in you. You've been made a part of the kingdom of heaven, and God counts you. He counts you a part, and he gives you life, and he doesn't take it away from you. Not until he's absolutely convinced that there's no way for you to move into it completely. So when you die, you just, unless you make the bride. Now, if you make the bride, you'll take on a glorious body, move out alive, soul, and highball the graveyard. But if you don't make the bride, you'll just go to sleep. You won't be, you know, it'll be like one of those. You ever say, I've been in a dead sleep? You know, I didn't know what is going on. I mean, I was out cold. I was out completely. I didn't know from the time I went to sleep till right now when I woke up, didn't know nothing. I was in a deep sleep. Well, you'll be in a deep sleep. It's so deep that God will have to quicken your body. He'll have to quicken, even give you another. He'll have to speak you back into existence. That's going to be something some people have asked me, you know, what you're going to be like. You know, if you're bald-headed, are you going to come back in a body with a bald head? Or skinny, you know, however you are. The Bible does say, so as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. So I said, I never have seen anybody resurrect from the dead yet. I can't tell you what it's going to be like, but I believe in it because the Bible talks about it. I said, people are going to come up. God's going to wake them up. Jesus said this. He said, I am the bread of life, and whosoever eateth this bread shall live and never die. You're not dead in God's eye. You're asleep. You're not dead. Just because you know, maybe you don't have any, what do they call it, vital signs. May not have any vital signs to man, but God has got a stethoscope that reaches deeper than the doctor. He knows whether there's life in the soul. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful tonight. Hallelujah. I don't have a promise for tomorrow, but I've got a promise of life. I do have a promise of some tomorrow. May not be tomorrow. But I'm coming up somewhere. Sometime. I'm still holding on to faith. I'm still trying my best to live right and keep this Holy Ghost alive in my. And so I'm happy tonight for life. I'm glad I can feel life in my soul, the life of God working in me. I'm glad I'm not downtrodden today. I'm not discouraged, but I'm lifted up in faith. Coming back from Haiti and the Dominican Republic, seeing some of the conditions. We saw a man killed right in front of us. He was a truck going down the road. And of course, there's people. It's a very dangerous highway in Haiti, and there's people on both sides of the road. I don't know. I didn't see what this man did, but many times people jumped out in front of us. There's people along the road, and when you drive down the road in Haiti, you drive down the road one hand on the horn at all times, honking all the way. If there's anybody in front of you, you're honking, let them know I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. And you have to do that because if they don't hear that horn, that's just a way among them. This big truck from the Dominican Republic was in front of us, and it hit this guy, and we come along, and he just kept going. And this guy was just laying out right on the highway. I hate to tell you what all it looked like, but he was dead, that's for sure. And so and the group was get. We stopped. We stopped, and of course, one of the brethren with us was am I on? And then on the road we had someone there that could speak. Brother Diego's Haitian, so he was speaking Creole, and of course they were just hollering, you know, that the guy kept going as that truck, but I did think about, you know, just how fast life can go from you. Just 1 second, this man was walking down the road, and there he was with a lot of people he knew, and then the next second he was dead. And I thought, God, I wonder if the guy knew Jesus. I wonder if he knew God. I wonder if he has a resurrection coming. And then coming on home that night, we come in behind two big trucks. There's a lot of big trucks right now going back and forth to Haiti. By the way, it took us 3 hours to get across the border. I never seen such a mess. Just, you know, just a one-lane road and a wide area, and just cars just pulling up in any hole they could find on both sides to get through a one-lane road. And nobody had he ordered what they was doing. It was a big... Brother Green finally got out and went to work with a bunch of other guys. Brother Elias was kind of laughing at him. He said, you know, Brother Green has got a... Brother Green sent off somewhere on the internet and got him constable. No, it's a... it's a religious, like they're having hospitals. Yeah. Chaplain. Yeah. He got him a chaplain badge. Looks like a policeman's badge. So when he gets in trouble, he pulls that thing out. He pulls it out. He'll say, look, he told him, he said, we got an American official in here. We got to get through here. He said, Brother Smith, you are an official in the body of Christ, us. I said, well, I don't know if that's going to work for you or not, but use it if you try it if you can. Anyway, Elias was kidding at him. But anyway, he got out there in about an hour, got to work, and he finally got us through there some way. Elias said, I've got one of those badges too, Brother Smith. He said, they're worth absolutely nothing. He figured it out. He's not the bluffer that Brother Green is. But anyway, going through the winding roads in the mountains and coming through those little villages, we come up on another accident where a big truck had stopped and the guy behind him evidently didn't have any brakes or didn't have enough brakes. And he run into him, and then two cars that run into that. And anyway, killed two people there, right there. And so, you know, I know my wife probably wondered when I left. I told her what to do in case I didn't come back. And then a few times, you know, we texted one another, you know, and I told her, you know, how much I loved her and kept reminding her just in case she never saw me again. That, you know, these are my last words. I always ended it with something good. And I thought about it a few times. I thought, she poor thing probably thinks he's going to die. Well, I have to be honest, I wasn't sure. in some ways. But anyway, thank God tonight for life. Even if you die, you're still preserved in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, He done something great for us, saints. He did something marvelous for us that we had no hope for life. We were sold into death and non-existence. But Jesus came that we might have life. And He gave us a little bit of it right here. You can feel it. It can quicken you. The touches that we get in God are so marvelous, so encouraging, so lifting, lifts us up so that to have tasted of life and in the measure that we've tasted in, and then to know there's yet more life to come. Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I ought to let you know right there that there's more to the life that He wants you to have than what you got when you got born again, when you got the initial. Paul put it this way. He said it's the earnest of your inheritance. It's God's giving you a little down payment. He's giving you a little taste up front. He's giving you a demo package. Demo life. You get a little demonstration of the Holy Ghost life. And you can feel just little touches of it, but there's deep touches you can get in on. Aren't you glad that you can go back in your testimony and remember the deep touches you got? Or somebody had to help you to your car after church. Or, you know, a vision that God may have gave you, or the touch of the Holy Ghost you got so strong that you couldn't withstand under it. You just passed out or went out in the Spirit. I remember Brother Philip Spears in the Fort Worth church one time. He had such a deep move of the Spirit, and he went out on the floor and he gave a testimony back that next Sunday. He said, that was an old church, had a real high ceiling. And his job was to replace all the light bulbs and all the lights. They had chandeliers hanging down all over the church. And he'd have to get, you know, like 24-foot ladders, you know, and or something on a platform, some way to get up there to change those bulbs. Because it was real high. And he came back the next service and said, I flew all over this church last night, or last service. He moved out. He had an out-of-body experience. And I saw what was going on. He said, I just flying around. I've always wanted that. I never have had that experience, Sister Watson, but I've told the Lord, I said, I want to experience what a bird experiences, either somewhere on this life or in the next one. You know, I just want to flap my wings and get up in the high and just sail around, not have to hear no big engine roaring or nothing. Just quiet. Just look around, just zoop right down real close to the ground, and just zoop right back up in the sky. Just sail, just catch the wind, just sail up there, you know, for however long. Look around. Might even fly around over some of your heads and listen to what you're saying and watch what you're doing. You won't know I'm up there doing it. I thought that'd be a nice experience to have, something like that. Well, I no telling what God will let us do when we get our new bodies, or what we're going to experience, or how it's going to be. But Brother Spears, he said, I know every light bulb that's out up there. He said, I still remember them today. He said, after I flew around. I said, oh, that in there needs replaced. He said, I know every one of them up there that is out now. So he said, I'm going to get busy replacing them. I said, Brother Spears, surely God didn't give you that experience so you'd know just how to replace all the bulbs. He said, well, it's one of my jobs. So anyway, but he was so lifted up in that God gave him that experience. Well, I never did have that, but I did one time. I came to the church and spent several nights in the church fasting and praying when I was a young man called into the ministry. And I remember one night I laid on my back on the altar and I was praying. I don't know what time of night it was, but it was in the middle of the night. And while I was laying there, I felt myself. I came up out of my body. And when I did, I felt my heart start going real slow as I started raising up out of my body, and then I felt it quit. And the breath left me. I felt that in my natural body, but I was leaving it. And I, you know how something happens to you, how fast your mind works. I remember I thought God was going to take me on right then. I thought, I'm dying. I'm leaving here. And I started saying, oh, God, no, don't wait. And a fear gripped me. And I began to tell the Lord about my wife and little boy. Michael was just a little boy. I thought God was going to take me right there. It felt like death. I could feel my body quit working. Then I just went right back down in it, and it just took off again. My body went back to breathing, and heart went back to beating. After that, I thought, I wish I'd have known to just let go and let God do whatever He's wanting to do. You know, I'm sure He's just probably given me an experience. It's sort of strange that way, because I don't hardly believe that you can exist outside your body. In fact, I don't believe it. I just believe God can do that, but you can't do it. It's impossible. Your body can't function without a spirit. Your body can't function without the soul, and the body and the spirit can't be separated. They can't exist without one another. They're all three made up in one. And they can't function without each other. If the spirit leaves the body, it quits working. It dies. But I know God's able. God can give you an out-of-body experience. Too many people's had them. God can give you, you know, I don't know if it's just a vision or not, but it's real to whoever it happens to. And might as well be real if you're aware of everything that's going on. So the Spirit of God, this quickening spirit that quickens the Bible says He quickens, it's the quick and the dead. He's a God of the quick and the dead. Those that He's quickened, those that are still living in a quickening, and those that are in the grave. One of these days, everyone that is under the earth, I think the Bible says. Let me give you a scripture on that. Look in the 5th chapter of Revelations. I'm just opening the service up, so try to maybe inspire y'all to say something. I guess I've got death on my mind, though. But I've got a good kind of death. Is this where I think I want this? Yes. In verse 13 of Revelation 5 says, every creature which is in heaven. Well, maybe we ought to back up a little bit and get the... In the 11th verse, it says, I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. See, that covers those in the grave. And such as are in the sea. See, everyone that's in heaven, that's the body of Christ. Everyone that's on the earth, those would be those that are in religion. The earth stands for the church or in religion, and under the earth, those that's already died, they're asleep in the Lord, and such as are in the sea, even God's people that's out in the sea of humanity, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And so this is showing he's dealing here in the 4th and 5th chapter with a restored church. And God shows he's going to harvest everything that's in heaven, everything that's in the heavens, everything that's in the earth, everything that's under the earth, everything, all his people that are anywhere, everywhere, he's going to get them together again in one body and one spirit. And John heard them magnifying the him that liveth forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank God there's a people that God is going to do enough for, that they're going to have enough praise and glory and honor and blessing and giving the power of God to him that sitteth upon the throne. Hallelujah. God has got, there's something that's going to happen down in the end of this world. It's going to be marvelous, glorious, and the greatest thing that this world has ever seen. Hallelujah. A resurrection right there. I told the brethren, somebody asked me this question over there. I said, look at that. That's under the earth. A lot of people aren't looking for anything to happen under the earth to be in this restored church down here. There's some people, they're coming out of, God's gathering them out of everywhere. And I told him, I said, just like in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations, that those are the unjust, but he's going to get all the just and the unjust in the harvest, in his gathering, in the end, in a restored church and in a divine order in the end of this world. He's going to gather his people out of all phases and all categories of where people are, all his people. If they're just, they'll come up. Even he's going to gather everybody out of the sea that he can get. He may not get them all, but everybody that he can get, he's going to get them out of there. Because John saw them out of all these categories, saying with a loud voice, God done something for him, didn't he? When they're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every one of them was saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now remember, I put a little tune to that right there. Just try to get us into practice of this. You going to get in on this group? You want to get in on it? Well, I looked at that one day. I thought, dear God, I want to be one of these guys that sings this. When we sang that little chorus, Sister Cindy, I'll get down from here. Y'all remember, I don't know if we've got the words up there yet or not on it, but you've heard it before, I know, here once or twice. I don't know. I generally sing in F, but it might be in C. Blessing and honor, glory and power unto Him upon the throne and to the Lamb that liveth forever. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto Him. Blessing and honor, glory and power unto Him upon the throne and to the Lamb that liveth forever. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto Him. Blessing and honor, don't help me out. Glory and power unto Him on the throne and to the Lamb.
Can you think about being there when the church is restored and we start singing this to Jesus and glorifying Him? You going to stand up and sing it? Unto Him blessing and honor. Let's stand up and sing it. Glory and power unto Him upon the throne and to the Lamb I live it forever. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto Him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory and power.
Glory and power unto Him upon the throne and to the Lamb that liveth forever. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto Him.
Oh,
blessing and honor,
glory and power unto Him upon the throne and to the Lamb.
And to love.
So happy when today come that we could come to church. I thought Wednesday night I'd feel like coming. I'm tried to start to get ready, and I've just felt so weak. Normally a cold doesn't bother me. I pretty well whip it out, but this one whipped me. But anyway, I'm glad tonight to be here and to feel the Spirit and to be with the people of God and to know that our worship is not in vain, that there's a great reward for the people of God. I was thinking, as Brother Smith was talking about being caught out of his body. I haven't had the experience of being caught out of my body, but years ago when this a minister of this people come to our part of the country, I was just a young lady, and I was gathering at the prayer meetings with the older ladies, and we was praying that the Lord would send us someone that could teach us what the Word of God meant. We could read it. But they said that we had some sisters that we was real good, dedicated ladies, and they we more or less leaned on them, and we had the prayer meetings, and I always liked to go. And of course, back then, we didn't have a lot of cars. We was poor people, and I would walk across the country, and because I was interested in being in their prayer meetings, and they was praying that someone would come and teach us the Word of God, and it just happened this particular time that this house across the road from us, the sister had the prayer meeting, so I didn't have a long ways to walk. And I went, and I was more a shy person back then. I didn't talk a lot. I listened. Might be better off at least more now, but anyway, I try not to talk too much. But anyway, we was having a prayer meeting, and back then, people in churches, they washed feet, you know, had foot washings. And of course, we didn't know. We just thought, you know, that the Bible said, wash your feet, and we didn't realize the meaning of that. And of course, we were praying that the Lord would send us someone that could teach us what all those things meant. So that day, a sister's was having a foot washing. And I was just, I must have been about 16, getting close to my 17th birthday at that time. And so they was washing my feet. And, of course, the Spirit was really good. You know, the Lord is surprising that people, in their ignorance, God does bless them because we was in earnest. We didn't know what we was doing, but we wanted to do all that we could do to reach out for the Lord, and we definitely was reaching out for the Lord. We wasn't going for a gossip session or anything like that. We really meant business for the Lord, and I had never had this experience before, but I was caught away in the Spirit. And I didn't know where I was at. I didn't know anything was going on around me or anything. But I seen this. I think I've told this before, but anyway, it bears telling again. I seen this beautiful pathway across the sky. It's called the Milky Way. And on this beautiful path was a man and a woman, a minister and his wife. And they were godly people, very godly people. And today, it's just real plain to me now, just like it happened, and that was when I was about 16 years old, a long time ago. But anyway, this went on for some time, and I gave a message in tongues, which I never had did it before, and that's the first time I'd ever did it. And one of the sisters, one of these good ladies that we depended on, she interpreted. And the interpretation was that for us to hold on, that the Lord was going to send us someone that could teach us what the Word of God really meant. And that's what we was there for, you know. So anyway, the vision or whatever it was, it subsided. But it was a beautiful experience. I'll never forget it. It was just wonderful. So that was in the spring of the year. And then that fall, a minister of this body of people come to our community. And he began to teach us what the Word of God really meant. But that day that we had this foot washing, the Spirit was just great. I mean, it was just blessing everybody. And like I say, I was real quiet and reserved then, and I was surprised if that happened to me. But it did, and it was a wonderful experience. And to know that the Lord gave me a part, Brother Smith, that I could be, be in the fulfillment of that vision or whatever that it was. And so this minister come to our part of the country and begin to teach us what the Word of God really meant. And, of course, it's, he's gone on and on from there. And I thought, Lord, I appreciate that wonderful experience that you give me, and I'm glad that I'm still here. I'm glad that the Lord kept his hand on me and that I've done as best that I know how to do. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord gives us these wonderful experiences and leads us and directs us in the path that he would have us to go. So tonight I'm thankful for this wonderful way. It's a precious way. It's a way that you feel so secure. And it's also a way that we need to be more sincere. I know that. We can't just do it in every way and make it. I know that there's a certain way that we have to live if we want to make it. And I'm so happy tonight to know that we have ministers that can teach us the Word of God, and that we can put our teeth in it and know that it's the real thing. And I am so thankful tonight. I feel unworthy, but I thank God that all through these years that the Lord has kept his hand on me and helped me to stay in this right way. So tonight I appreciate the Lord and thank him for the privilege to have to be here, and glad that I'm feeling better in body. It kind of gets me down. I'm not a sick person, but sometimes when I get feeling bad as I did this week, I wonder, Lord, am I going to pull out of this? But anyway, I have. So here I am, ready to keep going on. I'm like the racehorses. I'm off and running. So anyway, it's good to be here and to see everybody again. I missed y'all. Honestly, I couldn't hardly wait until service time come today. I was afraid I wasn't going to feel like coming, but I thought, I got to go. So here I am tonight, ready to go. So thank the Lord for this great Spirit and for this day. It's been good. And Brother Smith's message today was wonderful. I said, our pastor really preached today. So we appreciate that, Brother Smith. That's what it's going to take, you know, for us to make it. We might think sometime the teaching is hard, but when I was growing up, well, I thought my parents was mean to me sometime, but I'm glad now that whatever that I thought was mean, I'm glad they did it to me. Like I said, you know, I told you the other night that I've taken a lot of peach tree tea, and you know what that is? That's a switch off the peach tree. So anyway, I'm glad that I got those licks and helped to make me a child of God. So tonight I thank him for all the greatness, and he is so wonderful and so precious.
forget. And that's what I hold on to when I'm down in the valley. I remember moving out one day, and I was standing right over there. Brother Smith and Sister Smith had come to visit. And the Spirit moved on me so strong. The Holy Ghost was so strong. And I closed my eyes, and I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? And it was a light, and it was shining. It was real, real bright. And I said, Lord, show me, what is it? What is it? And it started coming closer. And then all of a sudden, the light broke into two. And then it kept coming closer, and there was two lights. And first of all, Sister Joanne Weiniger was with me at first when I first started praying. And then when it buzzed, the light came, the one light was shining, and then there was two lights. And the two lights, I kept looking, and they kept coming closer. I said, Lord, show me, what is it? Show me. And all of a sudden, there was doves, and there was two doves flying around. And I kept watching, and I thought, what is it, Lord? And then when I opened my eyes, that was when the banister was up there. Brother Weiniger was standing there. I opened my eyes. Sister Lynette was by me then. And then I opened my eyes, and Brother Smith was sitting there, and he was pounding on the banister and praying. It was in the Spirit, and Brother Weiniger was standing there right by him. I don't really know what it was, but I had been asking and praying the Lord to show me, Lord, show me something. And I guess it was on the head, the body, the head. And I thought, Lord, thank you. And I'll never forget that, and I hang on to that because I do know I love the Lord, and sometimes I don't know which way to go, and I know I act as though that I am very weak, but I do know that the Lord has given me strength, and I do know that He is with me, and I do rely on the Holy Ghost, and I am working toward my faith and my fear, and I think that's what has happened, because I just broke down on the interstate going to Crystals. My car broke down, and I was at peace. I called Jen and Phil, and then I called Crystal and them, because I didn't exactly know who I was closest to. But they come and got me, and they got the car off the interstate and everything else, and I knew that the Lord here lately has been testing me on my fears and my trusts. And I do trust the Lord. And I know that my strength is getting stronger, because this time I was not worried. I was not afraid. It was kind of uneasy. And I felt a little uneasy because I was by, you know, the interstate. And I thought, whoa, this is a little different than when I ran out of gas that time. And Brother Weiniger, this time I had a phone. But I just want to thank the Lord and praise Him for that vision that He gave me on that. And I just love the Lord, and I love all of y'all.
Give the Lord a praise, and thank everyone for praying for our house to sell. And everything is done and final, and I'm just so thankful. The Lord really knows how to test your faith and your patience. And it was really, really a trying time. But I am thankful that I have this message in my life, and that I know that He is faithful, and that if I hold on, no matter what I go through, that God's going to bring us through it. And He always just seems to come just right in the nick of time. And you're just hanging on by a thread, you know, you just don't know how you're going to make it, and then He just comes on through for you, and I knew He would be faithful, and it was trying, but I didn't want to go without saying how much I really appreciated everyone praying. I know everybody really did, and I just appreciate what the Lord is doing for us, and guiding us. I want to, you know, see, I've been praying, you know, Lord, let me see the open doors that You'd have for me, And I want to, you know, that prayer of Jabez. I want to receive the blessings that You have for me, and help me to see someone that I could witness to, or at work, I had every now and then I'll just kind of randomly see someone and try to get a feeling for it, and I'll give them a church card. I'll just say, here you go, I have this, come see me sometime. And it's probably been 2 or 3 weeks ago that I gave this one person a church card, and he said, you know, I'm trying to get another job, and when I do, I'm going to be off on Sundays, and I'll get to go to church. And I'm like, okay, good, you come see me. Come be with us in church. And I thought, you know, I just want to, no matter what I go through, I want to keep letting the Lord's light shine through me, and no matter, so they can see, no matter what you do go through in life, that God is always there with you, and he does come through, and that you can always have peace, even in the hard times and trying times. And I'm just thankful for all the blessings that he's given us, and just how he's brought us here, and he's just continually providing for us. And I just love each and every one here, and I'm just thankful, you know, of how everybody's just in my heart, and I have such a love for every family here, and how we're just have been one, and it hasn't been, you know, difficult to love everybody here. And I just really appreciate everyone here and everything that everyone does to be a part, and to be a pillar, and to keep on working to see this grow in this area. And I just really appreciate the Lord for what he's doing.
Earthquakes and everything was on my mind, and the problems in Haiti that they're going through. And the thought came to me, knowing that we will someday have more trials and tribulations in this area than we'll ever have or ever have had. And the thought came to me, where he leads me, I will follow. And that's a lot to say. Where he leads me, I will follow. Because sometimes we might get tried and not follow him. Brother Durham was talking about having the will of the Lord this morning. Was saying, where he leads me, I will follow. Evidently, if you follow the Lord all the way, you're in his will. And that's my desire, is to follow the Lord all the way. Because that has been my desire, evidently, ever since I was a little girl, because I'm still here. God has had his hands, evidently, on me, or I wouldn't be here. And I am so thankful for the teachings that we have, what we hear, and the fellowship we have. Another thing that I was thinking about this morning, I've been real concerned about Brother Wayne and Sister Llewellyn. Well, you know, we go back quite a few years, and Sister Llewellyn and I was talking yesterday about when they lived over by the pond. I didn't know them then, but I knew when Brother Tucker lived down there by the lakes, and then she moved over here to Catherine, and we have so many different precious memories of our past. Some of the ministers have said, don't think of the past, or don't talk of the past, just think of the future, today and tomorrow. But the past is what got me here. The teachings that I've had and heard, what little I heard as a teenager and a child, has kept me here. And y'all was talking about moving out of your body. There was a period that our churches, I've said this before, was closed down. And at a period of time, right after Mother found the body, this was in the early 40s, Brother Fred McConnell was our pastor. He started our church in Beaver, Arkansas. And then they also had a church in Eureka. And I remember walking, we'd ride the bus, the Greyhound, up to Beaver and getting out and walk up this little road to this little church. And I called. I couldn't really remember my mother's stories because, you know, that's been up 10 years ago. So I called. I'm getting older. I called Sister Nadine Hankins. She's now living in Des Moines, but she was one of the saints in Rogers at that time. And her daughter, Pamela, is married to Brother Glenn Goodwin. And so I called Nadine and asked her our history to make sure that I had it right, and I did. And I can remember Brother Wampshire would come down there on Beaver Lake, or Beaver, it's the Beaver Lake now, but it was the White River, and baptized people. And I can remember him being tall and big and ugly. I mean, he was an ugly man. And but I was probably 3 or 4 years old. But I remember him. And the church got so much bigger there that he decided to start a church in Rogers. Well, after a short period of time, all these smaller churches were closed down. And as time went on, the Lord dealt with me when I got in my late 20s to come to Little Rock. And I did. But I want to back up first. We moved to Wichita and was in Brother Munlow's church. And my mother and Aunt Wilma, her sister, it was between services, was laying in the bed resting. And I don't know, I wasn't in there that day, but they told the experience at church and later. But they were praying and talking to the Lord, and there were three angels appeared at the foot of their bed, and their bodies started rising up, and their breath was taken away from them. And they told the Lord, "We can't take it. Take them away. We can't take it." Now, that is an experience to have, for angels to appear. I think Sister Crow had one to appear when she was in the hospital. But that's an experience that just really is something that you don't ever forget. And I was probably, this was, I don't remember what year it was, but it was after we had the meeting in Brother Baxter's church. But I had a dream about 3 months after that meeting, and in my dream, I was up there in that corner, and the church had no furniture in it whatsoever, just the gold carpet. And Brother Weininger walked in with this, he didn't have a suit jacket on, he just had his white shirt with his arms up, kept saying, "You've got to hear Brother Jones," repeatedly, just over and over walking down. And I called him later, or no, Sister Inez, I was told to call her to find out who that was, and she told me, and I got the tape and listened to that. But I don't know if that was just a dream, as far as me being up there, out of my body, I don't know. But I was up there, looking down and watching Brother Weininger. But some of these experiences are so precious to me. But the main thing is that the precious thing is to me is I am really concerned about my brothers and my sisters. Brother Wayne has always been a dear brother to me. He is my brother, almost like my natural brother. Sister Llewellyn is too. Sister Dubby is my Aunt Wilma's saint that she got in the church. And it means a lot to me. Sister Maxine, Sister Crow, these different ones I've known for so many years. And I thought, you know, I need to earnestly get on my knees and pray. I would love to see the Spirit comes in here so strong when we have prayer. And I'm at fault for not doing it and pressing in. I don't press in like I'm supposed to, like I was taught years ago under Brother Tucker. You pressed in. He would really push and push and push until he got his people trained to press. And it was different then. It seems like it's just sort of a calm spirit now. But that still doesn't mean that I can't do this on my own at home. And I really am concerned about Brother Wayne. I've watched David have pain for many, many years now. And I can see Brother Wayne going through the same thing. And it's not funny. It's not funny. But after all, like I was saying,